You guys take out your candies. Okay, did you get one on the way in? Sweets. If you don't have a sweet and you want one, maybe raise your hand. Somebody might be able to give it to you, or somebody may need to give you theirs. So we've been doing this since the start of this series, just to lock into our brain how sweet God's word is. Amen? So we're going to read this together, and then we're going to take the sweets together. So let's read this together. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. You may take your sweets. If you're new, we light the candle to represent the Word of God that is a light to our soul, lights up our path in the life we want to live for Christ. So now beyond this whole time. As you guys know, we are in a new series called Orthopathy. Okay, Orthopathy. And it has to do with correct feelings or having the righteous feelings of God. So often, if you look at this diagram, if I can do a quick review before we get into the gist of it, we have been taught the words of God, and so we are taught to come in agreement with God. And then in churches or in our faith walk, we're also taught a lot of not only acts of God, but actions that we must take to be correct or righteous people of God in our acts. But often we forget the emotions of God, that in watching how Jesus responds emotionally in his life, we are given a complete picture of how to become more and more like Christ in our lives. And that's the goal of the Christian faith. Hello? Is to become like the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we will end up accomplishing the things that he wants done in our lives. We will bring pleasure to his heart. We will move the heart of God when we become more and more like Christ. Can I get an amen? So we're going to move beyond just agreeing with God's word. We're going to move beyond just spiritual practices and acts. And we're going to ask God for his heart. Can I feel like you? Can I respond like you? Because I believe one of the greatest needs of the church today is not more doctrine, although that's beautiful. It's not more practices, honestly. It's more affection for God. When your heart is moved like him and is shaped like him, all else will be taken care of. It's the heart that needs change. Amen? So let's get into today's passage. All right. It's Mark chapter 5, verse 24. In your Bibles, your journal Bibles, is page 32. There should be white little pens in front of you. You can use that to take notes if you like. And then if you're like, I just want to encourage PB, just act like you're taking notes. And then I'll be like, man, my sermon's deep. Okay? It's not that deep. All right. Verse 24, chapter 5, page 32. I'm going to read from a great crowd, okay? A great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman, you guys can circle that, who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years. That's a long time. And who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had had. She's broke now, guys. And was no better, but rather grew worse. Why can't I say that? 27, she had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, poor disciples, they always say the most stupidest thing, don't they? It's like, it's so sad. The disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? Oh, silly Jesus. That's my interpretation. And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, so beautiful, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. This is the word of the Lord. So we're studying the emotions of Christ. Let's look at all the emotions here. Last week we did compassion. And this week we're going to do, I guess it's shock, but the title of this message is amazement. But it's shock or amazement or surprise. Another way to say this is when Jesus responded with astonishment, or he was taken back, or he was stunned. Why was he stunned? Why was he surprised? And what moved him like this? And many of us have these experiences in life where we, as we're living, something surprises you in a delightful way. Know this, when Jesus is responding to this woman and this situation, he's not saying, gosh, who bothered me? Who touched me? Who took the power from me without my permission? He was not bothered. He was not angry. He was very pleasantly surprised. You guys know I have four kids. I have two sons and two daughters. My second son, my youngest son, a couple years ago around, four some years ago maybe, my son began to say things that were really moving, were really unique. And if you guys know little Matthew, he is just a very unique particular boy. Like for his birthday, he didn't want games or bikes or anything. He wanted a garden, right? He's just a very different kind of boy. And one day I walked up to him and he was in the corner of the house. And don't ask me why he's in the corners of the house, but he's in the corner of the house and he's intense and his eyes are closed and he's like into something. And I was like, Matthew, what are you doing? And he goes, and I said, Matthew, I'm worried. What are you doing? And he goes, Daddy, I'm doing something. And I was like, yeah, I can see that. What are you doing? He goes, you need to be quiet. And I was like, why? And he goes, I'm trying to hear God's voice. And I was like, really? Can you tell me if you hear it? Because I'm going to pray every day right there in that corner. Another time, he surprised me in a delightful way. We're about to pray at night, and I said, hey, let's pray, but tonight, let's ask God for something, right? So I wanted to teach him to pray and ask God for something that he wanted. So I'm expecting him to say something just, I don't know, random or some toy. So I said, hey, let's pray and ask God for something. He goes, really? I can ask God for anything? I go, yeah. What do you want to ask God for? And he goes, God, will you give me the ocean? He said, the ocean. So I was sitting there like the first thing I wanted to say to him is, you're not going to get the ocean. But I was so moved. I was so delightfully surprised. Because it's not just what he said that surprises me. What makes me delightfully surprised is that what he said exposes what he really believes. He really believes if God is God, he can ask for the ocean. I would ask for a fish, you know, a seashell, you know, whatever. Let me take something home, Lord. He goes, I like the ocean, please. I like the ocean. And the world is made up of water. He's asking for the world. So Jesus is very, very surprised and moved here, right? Something about this woman moves him. So remember, every week we're going to ask three questions, okay? And this is so easy to do with by yourself at home. We're going to ask three questions as we read the Gospel of Mark. We're going to ask, what or who moves Jesus emotionally? And then what's their story? What's the context? What about them moves Jesus? And then in being moved emotionally, what does that show us about God? Hello? Those three things. Who moves him? What's their story? What's their situation? And how does this invite us to get to know God more so that we can emulate Christ's heart more? Okay? And so let's do a very easy one first. Who is it, guys? Who moves him?
The woman.
The woman. The woman moves him. This woman. It's very important that Mark addresses and names this, that she is a woman and she has a discharge of blood for 12 years. Now, why the mention of the woman and the bleeding? Well, first of all, women are not respected in this culture. I'm sorry, this isn't modern day America. They're just not respected. They're so not respected and trusted that if they were an eyewitness to a crime, their testimony would not even be considered. So it's very important that a woman is the one that's grabbing the attention of this prophet at this time, that's getting all this notoriety and everybody's pressing upon him. Everybody wants his attention, but this woman gets our Lord's attention. Can I get an amen? Very important, okay? And then It mentions that there's a discharge of blood. Well, in Leviticus 15, it says, whenever a woman has a bloody discharge for a long time, which is not during her menstrual period, this is very awkward, whenever she has a discharge beyond her menstrual period, the duration of her unclean discharge will be like the period of her menstruation. She will be clean. So as long as there's a discharge of blood flowing through and flowing out of her, she will be deemed unholy or unclean. You should be not near this woman. So how long was she unclean, people? That's a long time. That's a long time to be considered unholy. That's a long time to be considered an outcast. That's a long time to be separated from those that you love. That's a long time. So what we find is that somebody very unimportant, a woman, gets his attention. Somebody very unholy, a woman who is unclean, gets his attention. And somebody who is very unwanted gets his attention. Unwanted from society or institutions or family structures. This person is not wanted. And something is exposed and revealed to us that God actually pays attention to those that feel unwanted, unholy. We just feel like we don't belong. Come on, somebody. We don't feel like we should have access to God or the good in life. All of us here, to some extent, I believe, can relate to this woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. There's a part in all of us that we feel unwanted. There's a part in all of us that feel like maybe it's worth rejecting me, for I am unholy, even though we do our best to cope or cover that sense of feeling of rejection or being qualified to be rejected. And then we all know what it feels like to be unwanted, right? But it's interesting that of all the people that's pressing upon him, as the disciples are saying, they're all pushing and pressing and trying to get your attention, he becomes alerted or awakened to this person. But it's interesting because last week we talked about the man with the leprosy, right? So we know that Jesus is moved by people's sickness and solitude. We know that Jesus cares about these kind of people. So it's not a surprise to us. So why does Mark not just highlight the compassion of Jesus? Why is he highlighting the surprise of Jesus? Remember, today's emotion is, and it's very implicit in this chapter, okay? And we'll get to a very explicit one. But in this chapter, when it says immediately, he turned, immediately, it's implicit, it's implied that he's surprised. Whoa, somebody touch me. Why is Mark addressing this? Why not just say, Jesus, like the leper, was moved with compassion for this woman that's been hurting, and he laid hands on her, and he healed her, just like he did with the leper. Why the astonishment? Why the surprise? Here's why. It says in verse 25, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. Okay, I want you to highlight that or circle that. Who has suffered much under many physicians. Circle that, physicians, if you want. And spent all that she has. She's now broke. Circle that. And was no better, but rather grew worse. Circle that. Why is Jesus surprised? Because, here's why. Most people in this situation would not have the faith and the hope this woman carried. Let me say it again. Jesus is taken back pleasantly because most people in her situation would not have the faith and hope that she carries. You don't believe me? Let's go line by line. Who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, most people will be full of despair. How many of you guys have suffered something for a long time? Yeah, many of us. If I suffer for 12 minutes, I'm suffering. I'm dying. 12 minutes, Lord. It's so bad. 12 months, 12 years. Most are riddled with despair. If you suffer much under many physicians, most will be discouraged. What the heck is wrong with these physicians? I spent all my money. I spent all my resources. We should have been able to do something about this. I am left discouraged. She spent all that she had. Most will be depressed. Would you not be depressed? 12 years, you're spending your savings, your retirement, everything on something that shouldn't have happened to you. And what's wrong with this, Lord? She's depressed. Right? She could be depressed. And was no better, but rather grew worse. Imagine a person like this, 12 years, going to all these physicians, spending all her money, and she hears about this Messiah. She hears reports about this dude walking around healing people. Most people will be full of doubt. Would you not? What's crazy is it says that she heard reports about him. She didn't even see for herself. This woman is carrying tremendous faith, right? And so instead of doubt, she has hope. What am I saying here? Why is Jesus so moved? It's because despite all the pain, all the suffering, you know, all the negativity, all the broken dreams and promises, this woman is still a woman of great faith. And when she recognizes that the Lord is in town, when God is visiting her, she doesn't quit. She rises up. She musters the courage and breaks through the crowd and touches the garment of our Lord. And our Lord, right, pressed with all these people, he's impressed by one person. One person. This woman. This woman. Many of you guys know the story of my mom. You know, for 40-some years, she's praying for my dad. I told you guys the story many times. And I would always say to her, and I'm basically like this version of this woman. If she didn't have faith all these years, I would say to my mom, why are you praying for my dad? Why are you praying for dad, your husband? He does not like Christianity. He kicked me out of, do you remember when he disowned me when I became a minister? Do you remember that, Mom? Do you remember that? He don't like this. He don't like any of this. Do you remember when people used to have home groups at our house and he would come home and find them and physically remove them from our house? Do you remember that? Why are you doing this? And for years and years, 40-some years, my mom prayed and said, I believe, I believe, I believe. After we've lost everything, been hurt, she's been through so much, she goes, I'm not quitting. I believe in Jesus. And then as you guys know, just recently, he started going to church, right? And every time we meet, you guys, I just hope you understand this. When we meet my dad, all he wants to know is what's happening with our church. And he tells me all the time, Brian, if you need a parking attendant, I'm there. That's all he wants to do. And I said, Dad, you will scare most people away. Okay, so don't do that. But you have to understand that for my mom, she could have been depressed, full of despair. She could have given up. But every day, she senses the Lord passing her by. And she said, I'm going to touch you again. I'm going to touch you again. Because I know power will be released as long as I believe in you. Yeah? No? Maybe? PB, are you sure this is about amazement? PB, are you sure Jesus is astounded? Are you sure Jesus is taken back? Are you sure Jesus is impressed or shocked by faith or the lack of faith? Is faith the thing here that moves Christ? Well, now let's get to the explicit one, yeah? Mark chapter 6, this is page 34 in your Bibles, okay? Just turn to that page 34, Mark chapter 6, okay? This is where it's explicitly said, where he now responds emotionally with the emotion of shock or amazement, okay? Jesus goes to his hometown, verse 1, and his disciples follow him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded, saying, where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James, and Judas, and let's go to verse 4. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives in his own household. Now watch this, verse 5. And he could do no mighty works there. Jesus Christ, who has been doing miracles everywhere he went, he can't do them in his hometown. Okay? That except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. If there was a record of miracles and healings in every ministry, that every town that Jesus went to, his hometown would have the least. This is sad, right? In verse 6, you can highlight this. And he marveled. He was astounded. He was taken back. He was surprised because of their unbelief. And we went about among the villages teaching. It says it very clear. Jesus is moved by our faith, right? Is marveling, is shocked, is pleasantly surprised, or he's astounded by our lack of faith. Faith, or the lack thereof, is the thing that moves your God's heart. I want you to think about this. Now, why is this not such a good, maybe easily receptive message? Because in our culture, many of you have been taught that a good word or a good sermon is about how you can learn to get God to move your heart. You see, when you leave today, your flesh might say, that was an okay sermon or okay service because I don't know if I was touched. You see, our goal is to become more and more like Jesus, or should I say mature in Christ's likeness. If you're maturing, you're seeking to touch and minister to the heart of God. You're not always so concerned whether you're inspired, you're touched, or you're moved. As you grow in Christ, you're thinking about how can I move your heart, God? What was that song? I just wanna. Hey, we have guests here. Can we act like these board members are gonna go, man, they are weak. Let's do it again. I just wanna move your heart. Dang it, I almost had it. So, what is it? Is all I want to do? Yeah, see? Is all I want to do. I just want to. That's it? It just says keep, it keeps all standing on, see? So that didn't work. All right. Okay, so before I finish on how to do this, I just want to speak to you as Christians really quick. We have to grow up at some point, or else this is going to get really unfun real soon. If this whole thing is always about you being moved, you being touched, you being blessed, we're in trouble, man. Because this church and the church in this nation, it cannot compete with the things of this world. It is not designed to entertain and inspire you like that. It's designed to kill your flesh. It's designed to awaken your spirit. It's designed to get you to be what you were made to be, which are people that touch the heart of God. And you have a treasure and a truth that's been given to you today that should last you a lifetime. You now know how Jesus is moved. Let me say it like this. All you men that are married, aren't you very perplexed about how your wife is not moved by you? You're like, I cannot impress her. I cannot touch her heart. She rarely says I moved her. What if I said today, when you walk out of here, you will have the key to moving her heart all the time? You will be like, this is the best service ever. Right? I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to have the key to move God's heart. Scripture said it is impossible to please God without faith. Okay? You want to please God? You want to move God? You got to start believing. You got to start living like he's going to do it. So here's how you do it. Are you ready? Are you ready? Say yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to be a woman of faith like her, you have to correct your perspective. Huh? You have to correct your perspective. She could have seen only the things that make her full of despair, discouraged, depressed, and full of doubt. Okay? But her perspective was different. She was looking to Christ. What's your perspective? When we talk to you or listen to you, are the things that you talk about, Deborah, you want to come up for it? Are the things that you talk about, do they always fall under those four D's? Things of despair, discouragement, depression, and doubt. Are they always falling in those things? Basically, is your life one giant telescope that watches and observes only those things that are negative? Or is your eye on Jesus despite the pain, despite the history, despite the record, despite the brokenness? You are looking at Jesus. Your perspective is different. That's how you move God. Yeah, Lord, it's like this, but I see you. I see you. Some of you literally need to say this week. Don't walk out here just agreeing with me. I want you to go home and go, these are all the things I've been focused on, all the D's in my life. But despite this, Lord, this is how I'm going to live because I believe I see you walking by me. That's how you move his heart. I'm not noticed at work. Lord, I'm not noticed at church. I'm not noticed at this or this or that. I just feel like that my life is just unnoticeable. But I know you have something for me. I know that if I am just seen, I could be a gift to this world and to others. I know that you put a treasure in me. But Lord, I just look at all these things that happen and it makes me want to be full of doubt and despair. But I see you passing by. And I know you take notice of me. And because of that, this is how I'm going to live. So how would you live if you change your perspective? The second thing I want you to do to be like this woman is I want you to change your posture. Okay? By the way, this is not, I'm going to be very careful. This is not, the law of attraction when you're thinking positive, you know, and you're just thinking about good stuff, all of a sudden these things come to you. I have done that and none of them came. Okay? What am I saying? This is not about attracting goods and positivity. This is about becoming aware that God is aware of you. That's what this is about. And that is magnetic for you. You are to be drawn to God. Not positivity, oh, let all these good things come to me. No, this sermon is about you going to God. Because you believe in God. Come on, somebody. So change your posture. Can you imagine if this woman, after 12 years, she heard reports? I mean, come on, guys. If I was her and somebody said, hey, yo, there's this guy from Nazareth. He was a carpenter, but then now he like crazy rebuking demons and people getting healed and stuff. Hey, you should check it out. Maybe he's gonna deal with your sickness. You know what I would say? Yo, dude, three times. Yo, dude, I just spent all my money. 12 years, brother. I have no friends, right? I have no family. What are you talking about? And my posture would be what? Full of doubt, I'll be slumped over, I'll be depressed, I'll be moping around, sulking. You know, this is why, listen, I understand depression. I understand having gone through this, being in depression and still on medication myself, I fully understand the strength of that chemical imbalance. Don't get me wrong. But faith is not dependent on your feelings. Your feelings are dependent on your faith. So you move. You move. I don't want to go to church. Well, you just physically change your posture and go. I don't want to sing. Lord, I had a bad week. A bad week. The girl that I like at work didn't even look at me. I hate my life. Right? We're like kids. My kids have one bad day. They don't get something. They actually say this out of their mouth. This is the worst day of my life. Oh, really? Worst day of your life? Yeah, Dad. We're like that. And our whole posture changes. Right? I want you to change your posture. This woman would not have been healed if she stayed negative, if she sulked, if she didn't move. Change your posture. Show Jesus that you mean it, that you believe it. And finally, make Jesus your holy pursuit. What do I mean by this? She had tried everything. She tried everything. And she had to give up on everything and everyone. Nothing can help her. But when Jesus came by, she said, "That's the one I'm going to pursue. That's the one I'm going to get to." Listen, honestly, guys, like her, we have tried a lot of things. We have tried different churches. We have tried different friendship groups. We have even tried different careers and jobs, right? Tried different relationships. Anyone bear witness to this? We have tried a lot of things. We have even tried to buy our way out of pain. Things like stuff. And I remember during COVID, my wife would rebuke me because every day, my good friend, the Amazon man, would come by. I was very close to him. And she would be like, "You order something again?" And I'm like, "I have to see him." And I'm guilty of it. Now, I didn't have money to order big things, but every day I order something. Because I'm like, retail a therapy, right? We tried a lot of things. It just doesn't work. When Jesus is passing you by, pursue him. So, as we close today, I'm going to ask you a question for you to take during this week, okay? All of your lives are so different. All of your lives are so different. You're in different parts of this woman's journey. But the question remains the same. What would it look like this week if you believed like her? You can write that down. What would it look like for me this week if I actually pursued and believed Jesus was my only hope? Some of you might write, "I may actually rest this week." Some of you guys, your expression of faith is reconciliation. "I may actually forgive someone." Some of you guys may be excellence. "I may actually give my heart to something and pursue something and give my best at work, at church, at family. I'll give my heart again because I believe." Let's pray. Emotions of God. Our Jesus, not only teaching and acting, but feeling. We have been given a key to unlock our Lord's heart. Right now, just between you and the Lord, what do you have to believe about him that makes him take notice of you? Go ahead. I want you to pray. What do you have to believe about him that will make him say, power has gone out of me. Power has gone out of me. Yes, Lord. I believe you can fix my marriage. There it is. That's the power. I believe only you can sustain me and make me whole. I believe it's in touching you that this deep loneliness will dissipate. I believe in you. Father, I thank you for our church. I thank you for every member, every visitor, every newcomer, and our special guest here today. Lord, we are in your presence. We're not just in each other's presence. We're in the presence of the living God. And as you pass by today, I pray that you find us pressing through, pushing the crowd away, touching your garment. You are the one we believe. It's not in the right prayers, the right sayings, the right teachings. It's Jesus Christ himself. It's you, Lord. We want to move your heart today. Be with us. Help us to move you this week. And I bless this church in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your lives. Amen. Amen. Amen.